And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's kind of been the underlying theme of Philippians chapter 4. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Philippians 4, verse 7. Isn't it? Don't we want to live with peace in our lives? I mean, when we're worrying, when there's trouble, when we are struggling with our health, when we're worried about a kid, when we're struggling in a relationship, don't we long to have a peace which passes all human understanding? And God says you can. That He came to give us a peace that passes all human understanding. What is that? That passes all human understanding. That means that I can have peace even in the midst of conflict, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of broken relationship, even in the midst of health issues, even in the midst of, that the peace which passes all human understanding is mine because of Jesus. That's a promise. We close out our series today, interestingly enough, with Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And Philippians 4, verse 19 almost circles back to where we began with Philippians 4, verse 6. Interesting thing happened in my home is that Chris has a bathroom that she uses almost exclusively. I have the cast off. The not as nice bathroom. The smaller bathroom. But that's all I need. But I seldom go into her bathroom. I have no need because I have my bathroom. And I went in there a few weeks ago, and she's got post-it notes on the mirror. And they are the verses from Philippians, which was appropriate and which was encouraging to me. Because Philippians chapter 4 is worth memorizing because it hits us where we live. And so on the bottom of your sermon note page, I want you to take that because I've got all of the verses listed. This is inspired by my beautiful wife, Chrissy. So that when you go home, you can cut off the bottom portion of that and tape it to your refrigerator or tape it to your mirror. And it would do well in your walk with God. It would do well in your living life to memorize these verses. Because they're so powerful. Chapter 4, verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need and also thank Him for all He's done. Philippians chapter 4, verse... I should have put 7 in there. You can add that later. Chapter 4, verse 7 is, and the peace of God which passes all human understanding will be yours through Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, that's the result of trusting Him. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for what you've done, for what He's done. Philippians 4, verse 8, you think this one relates to our life? Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Because our minds so easily go elsewhere, and what we think determines the direction of our lives. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Notice it's learned. That's what we saw when we explored that. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Philippians 4, verse 13, for I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need. God never asks you to do anything that he doesn't give you the strength and the power to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Philippians 4, verse 19, which we're going to focus on today, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You see, what Paul does here in verse 19 is he circles around. We started with 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And then he says in verse 19 that my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches. He addresses our anxiety level again. He addresses worry. Worry is wasting time by cluttering up tomorrow with yesterday's troubles. What do you worry about the most? What concerns you the most? Is it finances? Is it your job? Is it school? Is it kids? Is it your weight? Is it your schedule? This is the age that we live in, the age of anxiety. People seem to be uptight about everything. There were two stockbrokers during the stock market crash of the 1930s. They were talking to each other, and one said, I'm worried sick, and the other said, I'm not worried at all. I'm not worried at all because I've hired a professional worrier. I pay him to do all the worrying for me, and so I don't worry about anything. And how much do those guys cost? $100,000 a year, and in the 30s, that was a lot. Where are you going to get that kind of money? Well, that's his worry. The Bible says in Proverbs 12, the anxiety in a heart brings a man down. It weighs a heart down. You know, we saw before that the word for worry began with the word that means strangle. Jergen means to strangle. Research shows that the majority of the things that we worry about never come to play. And God knows that too, and he says, I want to give you a peace that passes all human understanding, and guess what? My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches. Now, what does this verse tell us? It tells us three things. The first is this, is that we need to ask for God's help. There are three keys here that I don't want us to miss. That we need to ask for God's help in our time of need. When we sense that, we have a need, whether that be with our finances, with our job, with our school, with our kids, with our weight, with our skill, whatever it is, that we need to ask for God's help. You know, worry is trying to control the uncontrollable. When you feel like you're helpless, and then you start worrying rather than praying. Chapter 4, verse 6. But how much is out of God's control? Nothing. That's the key, is that we may think that things are out of control with our finances, with our job, with our school, with our kids, with our schedule, with our fill in the blank. We may feel like things are out of our control, but the fact of the matter is nothing is out of God's control. I want you to notice when it says, my God will meet all your needs through the glorious riches in Christ Jesus, that my God will supply all your needs. Now, what does that mean? That means that we have a God who cares about us. My God will supply all your needs. Your God will supply all your need. What does that say about God? Is that number one, he cares about your need. He cares about you. That's why we call him Father. And we are his children. Is that the Father cares about his children. It also says that God is consistent in his need meeting. That he is close to us. He walks with us and knows us. And furthermore, he's capable. God is the God of the universe, and he has all the glorious riches at his disposal. That's the underlying assumption here. You do see that, that God loves you, God cares about you, that God is consistent in his need-meeting process, that he is capable, and that he walks with you. That's the underlying assumption behind chapter 4, verse 19, that my God will meet all your needs through his glorious riches in Jesus. When faced with a concern, what does God say to do? James chapter 4, verse 2 tells us, it says, you do not have, because you do not ask God. It's very simple. Is that the first step in need meeting in our life is to ask him. Over 20 times in the New Testament, it says that God says, ask, ask. He wants you to ask. He's waiting for you to ask the things that you're worrying about. Don't worry. Ask. Ask him to intervene. Ask him to give you peace. Ask him to meet your financial need. Ask him. Ask him. Ask him. How much more would you have if you just simply asked? You do not have because you do not ask God. You're relying on your own resources. You're running to the bookstore for the latest fad book. He says, what I want you to do is ask me, the need-meeting God, because I have glorious riches at my disposal for you. Ask. And why does God want us to ask? Because he's the source. Moses and Aaron, they came to God in Numbers chapter 16 and said this. Chapter 15, O God, the God and source of all life. And there you got it. That is the truth, that God is the source of all life. He's the source of all blessing. He's the source of all resources. So when we have need, we need to ask. What do you worry about? Is it that you don't know what to do and you're frozen in fear? Is it that you feel like your world is caving in and it depresses you? Are you feeling like you're irritated at life in general? Are you overwhelmed with guilt? Are you ready to throw in the towel? Well, then I've got some good news for you today from God's Word. And it says this. Yes, it does. God is my source. In Psalm 36, verse 9, it says that God is my wisdom. Isaiah 48 says, when I run out of energy, that God is my source of strength. Psalm 43 says, when I feel like everything is caving in and depressing me, God is the source of my happiness. Romans 15, the source of hope when things look hopeless. Romans 15 again, when life becomes stressed out, God is my source of peace. Hosea chapter 15, when I'm irritated and about to blow up, God's my source of patience. Hebrews 5, when I'm overwhelmed with guilt, God is my source of salvation. Romans 15, when I feel like giving up, God is my source of encouragement. And it goes on and on and on. God's word gives testimony over and over again that God is our source of need, and we need to just ask him. Because we have a great God who desires to give. Just ask him. Number two, I want you to see this, is that you need to remember God's resources. You need to remember God's resources. You know, I love the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then what? Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Now, that's interesting. You know, we live in America. This isn't Ethiopia. Daily bread. Why should I be praying about Lord, today, give me daily bread. Why would I pray that? Because bread represents the necessities of life, the needs that we have, everything that you need, your sustenance, what it takes to keep you going through the day. So give us today, Lord, what we need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from your glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. This same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. Give us today our daily bread. Now, I want you to notice it says, this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. God will supply all your needs. God will supply all my needs. I want you to notice it says needs. It doesn't say God will supply all my greeds. There's a difference. He says he's going to provide for my needs. He doesn't say he'll provide all that I want. You know, advertising in our culture just transforms the way that we think so that a lot of times our wants seem like needs. You know, especially at this time of year, any of you do the Black Thursday routine? Going to Walmart at 6 o'clock in the evening on Turkey Day? Sacrilege, just saying. We're entering into this time of buying gifts, you know, especially for kids. You know, when kids see a toy and they say, Dad, Mom, I need that toy. I need that toy. Well, they don't need it, but they want it. And parents, I got to ask you, do you give your kids everything that they want? If you're a good parent, you're saying no. Because you know what they need and you know what they don't need. But they would say that they need everything. Unless your kids are a lot different than mine were. You see, our needs and our greeds, they kind of just blend in together. Often we're not very good judges of what we need. And God gives us what we need, not necessarily everything that we want, because he's a loving parent. And why don't you give your kids everything that they want? Because you love them. Why doesn't God give you everything that you want? Because he loves you. He loves me. He supplies all my needs. And it says he supplies it out of his glorious riches. The Jerusalem Bible says, as lavishly as only God can provide. God has resources that are endless, and that's out of that bank that he provides for all of your needs. Whatever you're uptight about, God has more ability than there is anxiety. So you can come to God, ask for assistance, and remember his resources. Matthew chapter 6, look at this. It says, why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows your needs. You know, he's talking about worrying here. Why do you fret like you've got no God? Like you're all alone? Like there is no resource other than you in your life? That's the way that you're acting, like a pagan, rather than a believer who trusts in the God who has glorious riches at his disposal and loves you and cares for you and is going to meet my need. That's the attitude that we need to carry through life, and that brings a peace that passes all human understanding. It's so beautiful how, you know, Philippians chapter 4 just ties all together. And I want you to notice the condition here, because this is not a promise for everybody. It's a promise for those who put God first in their lives. You know, that if you want to go on your own, if you want to worry your way through life, if you want to fret and only use your resources, God is not going to force himself on you. God promises to meet your needs when you're living in a full and rich relationship with him. Thirdly, trust God's timing. I think we need to remember that here. Trust God's timing. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. Will supply. I hate that word will. Because I don't know exactly when that will comes to play. Are you with me? It will. He will supply my needs. Well, when is that going to take place? Right now is when I want it. True? We want it now. I mean, is anybody like me that God's timing is not the same as mine? I don't know what's up with him. But his timing is not the same as mine. I'm always in a hurry. God, I need it now. And God says, no, you don't. You need it when I say you need it. God's timing is perfect. God will supply all your needs. Man, I've walked the journey with many of you through the past years. Some of you who have had, you know, a crisis in your life that you're waiting for God to bring together, and he does, but it doesn't happen right away. Others of you who have been out of work, and it seems like an endless time period when you're looking for new work, and God's timing is right, and you can see it at the end. When God was preparing you, as well as preparing an opening in this job to bring you together, God's timing is not my timing, and waiting requires faith. Waiting requires trust. You've got to trust God's timing instead of worrying. God, how's it going to work out? I don't know how it's going to work out. And God says, hang loose. Trust my timing. I'm on it. I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten your need. I'm on it. He wants us to trust him daily, moment by moment. Give us today our daily bread. My God will supply all your needs. My God will supply all your needs. You know, I love being at this stage in life when a lot of the stressors are in my rearview mirror. You know, I'm a pastor. Write that down. And have been my entire adult life. And pastors notoriously, you know, if you're wanting to get rich, going into the ministry is probably not the best solution to get to that goal. And I don't know if you know it, but I have 5 children. My wife just went nuts. 5 on a pastor's salary. And God always supplied our needs. Always. Were there times of worrying? You bet. But he supplied all our needs. But a big one came up. You know, and people have asked me, you know, how did you, you know, provide in getting 5 children through college? Because let me let you in on a little private financial business. Because I had no savings, I had no additional income, I had no sick wealthy relative, I had no college fund. Give us today our daily bread. It's kind of the way that I walk through, you know, my whole life with them. And I'm on, you know, and so, you know, get the first 2, you know, through, and they participated heartily in making that happen. But we provided the undergirding foundation for that. And we got through that, and there's miracles in the midst of that, but I won't get into it. Because my God will supply all my needs. And he did. But then the second wave of boys came, And there's three of them that are going to be in college at the same time. At the same time. And during this period of time, in the church that I was leading, we had a financial drive because God was growing the church. We needed to expand our facilities, and I needed to be a leader in that. And so way above the tithe was an offering that, you know, I refinanced my house for. And these three were in college at the same time. How did that happen? People say, how did that happen? And I tell them the same thing all the time that I'm asked. Are you ready? I don't know. I'm on this end. You know, I get through the whole deal, and I don't know how it happened. Other than Philippians 4, verse 19, that my God will provide for my needs from his glorious riches. That God worked that out so that five children have a college education. I can't lead a seminar on how to do it because it's short. I don't know. Other than Philippians 4, verse 19, that my God will supply all my needs through his glorious riches. Now, how do I get a faith to live day by day in a lifestyle that says, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to trust his timing, I'm going to trust that he's going to meet my needs? Well, you read the Bible, you read God's word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this, is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Faith comes from hearing over and over and over and over again that God is going to supply your need. And how do you hear that? Well, it comes from his word. Because it's over and over and over and over again that God will supply your needs. The more I read this book, the more I study this book, the more I am affirmed in the fact that God will take care of me, and I need not worry. And I can trust him. He is trustworthy. He does have a track record, you know. The longer that you live with him, that track record becomes a personal track record, like it is for me. You know, that God is taking care of me, us. You know, for so long, he's not going to stop now. God is trustworthy. You know, for instance, you know, in Exodus chapter 16, when you go to God's word and over again, it affirms that he's going to take care of your need. And we looked at this last summer, you know, where Moses was leading the Israelites into the desert, and they had a big need, and that is their need was to eat, and there wasn't, you know, a McDonald's close. And so what did God do? He provided them with manna. And you remember that manna is an interesting concoction. It's sticky. And they don't, in fact, the word manna means, what is it? It's so weird. They've never seen it. And the cool thing is, it just lasts for a day. It's just enough. He gives you just enough for the day. God, give us today our daily bread. Well, he literally did it to the Israelites. Here you've got enough for a day. If you try and save it, if you try and hoard it overnight, then it gets, you know, it gets worms and it's rotten. It was useless. God made it so that there was only enough for that day and every day, in and out, day in, day out, day in, day out, for 40 years. 3 million people had to depend on daily bread, and that God, who has glorious riches, supplied their need. A lady told me one time, she says, you know, your sermons are like manna from heaven. Now, first, what does manna mean? It means, what is it? And secondly, it's bland, it's tasteless, it doesn't last, and if you keep it longer than 24 hours, it rots. Somehow, I don't think that was a compliment. God gives you just enough to meet your need. Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Isn't that true? And Psalm 68 says, praise the Lord, praise the God our Savior, for each day he carries us in his arms. That's the image that we ought to walk through every day with, that God carries us in his arms. And the result of trusting God, two things happen. There are two things that transpire when we trust God. When we walk through life knowing that Philippians 4, verse 19, that promise is the truth. That my God will supply all your needs through his glorious riches that are found in Christ Jesus. Two results. The first is that Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 comes into play. That the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will be yours. That's the truth, is when you walk through life knowing that Philippians 4, verse 19 is true, and you have owned that, you live that, then you become more at peace. Circumstances don't bother you. You live above the circumstances. God is your source. If tomorrow you went to work and they ask you to make an unethical decision and you refuse because you're a Christian and you couldn't do that and you got fired, what would you do? Would you panic or would you pray? Our natural reaction is to panic. The only sustaining reaction is to pray. Would you feel like you're going under for the last time, like your life is falling apart? Or would you say, God is my provider. He will provide another job because I'm honoring him. Why do you know that? Philippians 4, 19. And my God will supply all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I know that. He's going to take care of my needs between now and the next job. He's going to take care of my needs. He's going to take care of my needs. When you're passed over for a scholarship, is the world going to end? Or do you say, my God is going to supply all my needs? Or when you feel the pinch of the economy and it seems like, you know, that your dollars don't go as far as they used to, are you going to count on Barack Obama to be your hope? Or are you going to pray? My God will supply all your needs. You put your faith not in your bank account, your stock options, your Social Security, anything else. You put your trust in Christ from his glorious riches. So first of all, it gives you a peace that passes all human understanding. And second of all, it makes you more generous. It makes you a generous person. When you're stingy with your time, with your money, with your efforts, it means that you really don't believe that God is going to provide for your needs. So you've got to hoard it. You've got to hold on to it. You've got to build a wall around me and mine so that the blessings that I've been given, I just put in my barn. And if the barn fills up, I'll build a bigger barn. That's living a life that is far away from the life that God intends. When we trust God with everything, then that means it frees me up to provide for the need of the brother or sister that I know in this church that is struggling, or for the person down the street that is struggling, or for a family member that is in need, and I can provide that need. It frees you up to be generous because you're living a life that says, my God will supply all of my needs. If you're a believer in Jesus, do you realize that the offering that we take every week, that's a faith quiz? It's like God giving us a test each week. You know, do you trust me really? Or are you just mouthing trust? Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to tithe or are you not going to tithe? Are you going to do what I ask of you, knowing full well that my God will supply all my needs through Christ Jesus? Or are you going to hoard because you're afraid? What are you worried about the most? Is it your job? Is it your health? Is it your family? Have you thought about asking God for assistance, remembering his resources, and trusting his timing. That's the bottom line of 4:19. My God will supply all your needs through his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Wow. To say we're going to walk forward in trust and faith and obedience, knowing full well that God is there. And I think I've shared this before, but it's an interesting fact about the building of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, over the San Francisco Bay. Construction fell badly behind schedule at first because many workers were falling off the bridge to their death. And so that would halt construction, and they would try and regulate and put in safety measures, but nothing seemed to work until one day somebody says, how about we erect a huge net under the bridge so that if anybody fell, they would fall into the net. And while that was a costly adventure, that's exactly what they did. And when they did, then production increased because all the workers knew that if they were to fall, they're going to just fall into a net. They have a safety net under them all the time. And that's what God is telling us through Philippians chapter 4. You've got a safety net under you all the time. God has erected a safety net under you all the time because he supplies all your needs through his glorious riches. And therefore, while, go back to 4 verse 6, worry about nothing and pray about everything, and the peace of God which passes all human understanding will be yours. Amen? Lord, we come before you and we just ask, Lord, that that safety net would be in play, and that we would understand that and we would live each and every day knowing full well that you will supply our needs, that we have nothing to worry about, that you are a God, that your power is beyond measure, your glorious riches are endless, and you love us. You are our Father, we are your children, and you are going to meet our needs, whether that be our financial needs, whether that means our family needs, our relational needs, our health, whatever it is, Lord, you will provide for our needs through your glorious riches. Lord, may you plant that in our souls, and may we be people who live lives of faith and not like the pagans who worry about everything and are on their own, but that we live faith lives, trusting lives, all in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.